I'd like to call the August 3rd, 2020 meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee to order. And Fawn, do you want to just real quick do another roll call?
Roll call. Manager Green.
Present.
Peter Criswell. Laura Petit.
Here.
Mary Worrow.
Here.
And Al Bruno is absent tonight. Also with us tonight is Tim DeGraff, Catherine Beinkaffner, Charles Landy, Dave Gordon, and Amanda LaValle. And I think that's everybody that's here, except Jay and I. So I think that's...
All right. We have called the meeting to order. And Fawn, do you have a flag?
I do.
All right. Why don't we stand for the flag? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States
of America
and to the
Republic
which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay.
And you put your video on, you know, if you want
okay.
It. I believe.
And I'd like to ask if folks have had a chance to read the minutes of the July 6th meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee. And if so, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Legislator Petit.
I'll second that.
Legislator Criswell, thank you. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion carries. And before we get into, we only have three resolutions tonight, which is good. I've invited Catherine Beinkaffner, a board member of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, who with myself and Legislator Petit and several others, Angelina Peon and Peon, and several others took a zero waste training. And then we had the privilege of doing a presentation at SUNY New Paltz, which also included a tour of the New Paltz recycling, not that day, but people could also schedule special trips to the New Paltz Reduce, Reuse, and Recycling Center, and also did include a tour of the zero waste or moving towards zero waste practices at the SUNY campus in their cafeteria. So one of the presentations by our Clearwater board member, our UCRA board member, was really excellent, and I think it will set the tone for a productive discussion. I'd hoped to do this last month, but tonight Catherine is ready to share her screen and do a brief presentation on zero waste and why it's important in a global climate crisis. Thank you, Catherine.
Can you all see the slideshow?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. This is quite interesting. I've never done this before, so it's going to be a grand experiment. Anyway, we did this conference at the college at New Paltz. And it was actually Lisa Mitten, a member of the UCRA board, was planning to have Judith Enck, who was the former EPA administrator from Region 2, which is includes New York, come and talk about Beyond Plastics, her new group and her energies into dealing with plastics. So Lisa invited us to come and talk about zero waste as well. So I volunteered to give a PowerPoint presentation, and lo and behold, that's what I did. Most of my slides come from the agency or from Charlie Whitaker, who's taken photographs of different things out in the field. So let's go for the next slide.
Before you start, Catherine, we have a caller at 845-234-8317. Is that Dave?
Yes, it is.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Go right ahead, Catherine.
Okay. So we have one more person. Good. Okay. Let's go for the next slide.
Okay.
Hold on.
Hang on. I'm on the wrong thing there.
Juan has agreed to do the next thing of the slides.
I think I have. I'll do it this way.
Okay. Here we are. This is me. I'm actually a geologist by training, and I have a lot of experience in working in landfills and developing geologic and hydrogeologic studies of landfills and also closing them. So it's interesting that you will find out that my opinion of landfills is not what you might think it is. Next slide. This is a slide from the agency. It's kind of nice because it gives us little pictures of the mission of the agency from left to right. So you can see municipal solid waste, obviously, is what we do most of and is our bread and butter. Just dealing with all the solid waste coming from our communities and trucking it off to the landfill. Dual stream recycling. We do a lot of recycling, and hopefully we'll be able to do more in the future. We're not, our record isn't the best for recycling, but it's not bad either. Organics, we've been composting with food waste, and so that's really the organics recovery. The wonderful thing about that is it takes all of that heavy water-laden material out of the waste stream. So reduces what we're sending off to the landfill. Electronic recycling, we've been having a big green box out in front of the agency office, but with COVID now we've changed things around and we have Saturdays, people can bring their electronic stuff and put it in a new box, which is just to the right as you face the office in the building. And that's open on Saturdays. Household hazardous waste, we do usually three different locations and collections each year. Due to COVID, probably we only have one. Outreach education, we have recycling coordinator and the recycling educator, two people, Angelina Pioni, who's here with us tonight, and Melinda France, who visit the schools and also do presentations to other groups and teach them about mostly recycling, but also about other forms of waste management. How about the next slide? This is an air photo of the UCRA facility here in Kingston. And I don't know if everybody on the board has visited or on your committee, but you're definitely welcome to come and have a visit. It's worth just seeing how it all works. In the middle of the top, the building that says recycling on top of it, that's the MRF, the Material Recovery Facility. That's where recycling occurs inside of that building. We have a sort line of people who do the sorting of the recycling material. So the upshot of that is, our recycling products are clean. We don't have a lot of contamination. It isn't mixed up with a lot of stuff. There are facilities where they take all of the materials and crunch it up into little pieces and then sort it out with magnets and other electronic means. And their contamination is too high. That's what happened with China. They stopped taking recycling materials because the amount of contamination was just too high for them to use in processing and making other materials and equipment. To the right of that, you see the word compost. That's where we have two big areas, which are concrete floors with those big concrete blocks all around them. And in each one, we start a batch of compost. We've actually started pouring more concrete and making a much bigger area adjacent to that to be able to do even more composting. Then right in the center where it says weigh scale, everything that comes and goes from our facility has to be weighed. So if somebody comes in their little truck and gets a load of compost, they weigh you empty and then they weigh it full and then you pay by the ton.
Should we hold our questions till the end, Catherine? I'm wondering how the new composting facility was going, if you've broken ground yet.
Well, they've started pouring more concrete. So we haven't, I don't think they've started making it there yet, but we still have those two big areas that are, you'll see in the photograph. The tipping floor down in the center middle, that's where the garbage trucks come in and dump their load. I guess it's because, I don't know why it's called tipping floor. I think maybe because you tip the truck and the stuff falls out. I don't know. But anyway, that's the transfer station where all the local haulers bring garbage and trash, et cetera. And also on Saturdays, people, individual citizens are allowed to come also. And then the building to the far left, lower left, vehicle maintenance facility, that's where we maintain all our equipment. And we have a lot of equipment that we maintain in-house. So that's what we have at UCRA in Kingston. We also have another facility. That's okay. We have another transfer station in New Paltz where the haulers can bring their trucks of trash there too. So next slide. When we were doing this, it was at the college, so I was addressing where does the waste go. But I also want to address something else with this topic, this idea of zero waste and what we mean by it. Because to me, I think there's two definitions. One definition is that we have this waste stream, all these things coming in, and we're trying to reduce it. So one way to reduce it is by diverting, taking stuff out of it, which could still be used for something else. So diversion is probably the biggest part of trying to get to zero waste, like taking out the food waste for the compost. That's a gigantic amount of material that's not going off to the landfill. The other concept related to zero waste in my mind is there are technologies now, and this is what the solid waste management plan is that the agency has that was approved by DEC. It means that we have to figure out what are we going to do when our landfill closes. And the landfill, I'll show you in a minute where it's located. We have about 3 more years and it's going to close. So we have to figure out what to do with our waste. There are alternatives. One would be to have an in-county landfill. But there are other alternatives that I actually favor because they actually use pyrolysis or some other form of very high temperature combustion and oxygen. And out of it, you get different products. Sometimes you get diesel fuel. Sometimes you get hydrogen, which is a commodity. It can be sold. And you get a syngas when you subject the garbage and trash to high temperatures. And the synthetic gas can be put through a turbine and generate electricity. So then you would get electricity out of this method of destroying your trash and garbage. Sometimes ash comes out and other times you get more like a rock kind of stone kind of product. And there's a company in New Jersey which has some operating facilities, none in this country, but they're looking to build one in this country. So I really want to engage them in conversation to see if they would be interested. They've actually come up to Kingston. Unfortunately, the guy came on the 4th of July, and I had no idea he was coming up to visit, or I would have welcomed him and taken him around, showed him things, and I had no idea. He was just curious about where was Kingston. And then there's another company in California, and they have a contract with an Army facility out there where they have yet another zero waste plan, but their facility is small. We have a lot more tons of trash every year than they could deal with in their operating facility, but it doesn't mean it couldn't be redesigned to be bigger. And then there are other facilities with other methods of trying to get to zero waste. Zero waste is really a goal. I don't know if you can really always get to zero waste. It always seems like there's something that isn't going to go away easily. So let's go for the next slide. And here we are at, this is at the New Paltz Transfer Station. Because the county waste is dumping out all the bags of trash that they brought in. And this, you can just see the bottom of the word Volvo. That's the arm of this big, huge bucket piece of equipment. And it's going to start picking up the trash from the floor and lifting it up and over the wall and dumping it into the truck. It goes to the landfill. Now, in Kingston, when the trash is on the floor like this, this is the whole tipping floor, we actually have people there who are watching to see what is coming out of the back of the truck. And we're diverting stuff out all the time. And I'm going to show you some photographs of some of the stuff that's diverted. It's very dangerous. So the men are very, very cautious about how they handle it and what they're doing and where's the truck and where's the machinery that's moving the garbage and everything else. But we've been very successful at actually reducing the amount of garbage. I was on the UCRA board like 10 years ago, and right then we started talking about it. And then when I came back on the board 2 years ago, it was nice to find that we have a very significant program that's actually going on. So it's rewarding to find that, you know, while I was absent, things continued and got better and better. So let's go for the next slide. Here's the truck, and the tipping floor is to the upper left. You can just see the top of the wall there. So all the garbage is up there on the upper left, and then that big Volvo machine is lifting it up and dumping it into the trailer behind the tractor there. So that's how we load it up to go to the landfill. Next slide. Okay, here we are, starting in New Paltz. If we went up to Seneca Meadows Landfill, it's 250 miles. Let's go back to the map. But it's really 500 miles because the trucks go and come back. So we have one heck of a carbon footprint using all this diesel fuel to get our waste up there and back. So we take the next load. So next slide. So as I mentioned, diversion is really the means of reducing what's going to the landfill right now. So here we have a whole pile of air conditioners. We take out the air conditioners. I think the next slide is freezers and refrigerators. We take the gas out of them and actually save the gas. So that is recycled. And then the rest of the parts and pieces go out for recycling also to be used in new fabrication. So next slide. We also divert fluorescent tubes and wire. And what do we have next? Propane tanks we take out. And next, oh, tires. Oh, yes, do we have tires? Tons of them. So we take those out too. And next. Oh, here we are. This is over in the MRF. There's cardboard recycling in the back there that's bundled. And then the electronic waste, the vendor who takes it, it all has to be wrapped up. So it's wrapped up in plastic, and that's waiting for them to come and get it. Next slide. Okay, so here are those two areas I mentioned. They're set up with the concrete blocks where we make the compost. So we can make a package of compost in each of those areas. Here's where we collect the clean wood and also yard waste, brush, lawn clippings, all kinds of stuff like that. And then they grind up all of this brush and wood into fine chips. And then next, we accept food waste. First, we put that in the compost area. And you can hear this is quite a nice collection of fruits, watermelons and some pineapples and tomatoes and I don't know what else, but must have been summertime. So right now we actually have someone bringing the waste, food waste from Westchester. And we have a continued 5 more years of the same agency bringing us more. Ah. I see Angie is telling us about other things we do. Okay, so here's the little dog houses, and they actually have huge, big blowers in them. And then we have PVC piping that actually pumps the air out underneath the compost to aerate it. And that helps make the compost. Now, I don't have any photographs of the compost other than this, but actually, once it's finished, we sell it by the ton for $30 a ton. So the people come in their trucks and they put it in for you, and then they weigh you when you pay by the ton. Also, we have bags now, and we're going to be selling bags of compost. But we haven't started up the bagging yet. There's been a problem with getting to the bagging. Let's see, some of the other things that I wanted to mention was we also collect fabrics and textiles. I had a photo of that, but it got deleted once we had to make things shorter. And I didn't show the one where we actually grind up the wood, but I did mention about the grinding of the wood. And let's see, what is the next slide? Ah, okay, we missed this one. Yes, okay. This is kind of interesting because it just goes through a bunch of re-something or others and reviews. Don't consume what you don't need to. In other words, man, are we good shoppers. We can buy everything. Maybe we should think about it twice and not buy so much. Reduce. Bring your own. I think bring your own means when you, we often go to meetings, we bring our own silverware and plate. So we just take it back home with us. Reuse, find uses for old things that can be reused somehow. Repair. Another person who gave a talk at our session at the college was John Waxman. And it was about his repair cafes. And apparently there are several groups that meet usually on Saturdays at different places, often churches. And they have a session where people are there that help you fix broken items so you can get things fixed. Regift, donate something that you don't want. I always think of my grandmother. She was a very social lady. For Christmas, she would get Chanel No. 5. And I love Chanel. And then my birthday, she would regift me the Chanel. I thought that was pretty cool. So recover, compost the food scraps. we're really doing some courses at the agency to train people on how to do home composting. And, of course, we have our own program on site. Recycle. Know your program and recycle right. I think right now we have a big problem with recycling in the state because we have a lot of plastic and all these clamshell things that can't be recycled. We either have to figure out how to stop using those for recycling, or we have to get DEC to intervene, or we have to do something. Although I did, speaking to the people in New Jersey about their waste to energy project, they said, oh, that plastic is wonderful. That'll just create, you know, lots and lots of power. So, yeah, I don't know. It may actually turn out to work out okay. So I think that's the last slide. Let's see what's next. Yeah. So any questions?
Do you need an appointment to bring electronics?
Come on Saturday. Okay. I would guess something like, I don't know. What time are we open on Saturday? Who knows?
I do. But we're open on Saturdays from 7 to 3 taking electronics. We have a gravel road right to the right across from our office before you get into the main facilities. We have a gate there now. We have a worker station there who's checking you in. And we also have another worker who's loading up the boxes at the far end of the gravel road. And we have barrels and cones set up to direct traffic around outside of our office parking lot. So that way they can actually go down into the facility and separate it.
Any other questions?
I think if Laura or Mary or Peter has a question, you have to unmute yourself. There, Laura unmuted herself. I don't know.
Catherine, thank you very much. And it would be good, you know, if we'd welcome you to stay through the discussion because the resolutions tonight really focus a lot on the UCRRA and zero waste planning.
Would there, when would be tour if we wanted to go on a tour?
Say again?
When would be the best time to go on a tour if we wanted to take a tour? Is there a day of the week that works best for your organization?
I would just call it. You can call the office and talk to me or send me an email. That's fine, and I'll set it up.
We've done a couple of tours, group tours, but with social distancing, I'm not sure that would be the best thing right now. But it's an amazing facility. You should also, if you haven't seen it, go down and see what Laura's doing in New Paltz. And definitely visit a repair cafe when they start doing them again.
They've done a couple of those virtually too, which is a neat idea.
I had a nice metal plant stand that had broken, and they guy welded it for me in 2 seconds, and I love it.
Wow. All right. Well, with that, if we don't have any other questions right now, we can get back to other questions if they arise. But I'd like to move to the resolutions. I'm also mindful that we have guests for old business, and I just want to be sure that Amanda and Angie are, and well, Dave is not doing a presentation, but are you fine with us going through the resolutions and then coming to your business? And if you're on mute, okay, go ahead, Amanda, please.
Yes, that's fine, Marianna. Thank you.
You're welcome. So the first resolution on our agenda tonight is to approve the local waste solid waste the local, Ulster County Local Solid Waste Management Plan, which, as Catherine mentioned, has been approved by DEC and now has to go through the legislature. I do want to say that for the past, you know, this month and the previous month, the Solid Waste Planning Commission had written a request to the agency to commit to a collaboratively developed what was called a zero waste action plan. And I took the liberty of changing the word action to the word implementation. Fawn, can I just double check? Does this committee need to approve that amendment, or since it's still in a, it hasn't been approved?
In the resolution, you'll be approving that change of the title, but I think the title is that right now. Also, this resolution needs to be moved for discussion before you get to it.
I'll move it for the purpose of discussion.
I'll second.
All right. So, thank you for that reminder. My feeling is that if we're going to be successful at waste diversion, we need to create a zero waste implementation plan that is actually parallels the local solid waste management plan in that it has an implementation schedule, that it's not just aspirational, that it's actually implementable, and that it be collaboratively developed. I want to acknowledge the excellent work of the Recycling Oversight Committee, but if it's developed by one committee and not using collaborative process, I'm not sure that that will be as successful. And I think it's critical that we really create a model that is implementable and very effective. So, you know, one of the whereases cites that, and it's my understanding that the agency has created a committee, but they have not, to my knowledge, and certainly not in a resolution as requested, provided a resolution saying that they will work with, for example, the Department of Environment is certainly an interested agency, and I'm not speaking in secret terms, but just has an interest, and also I think given what we have been discussing about zero waste, probably the Department of Economic Development also should be part of that discussion. So it would be the executive branch, the legislature represented by the Recycling Oversight Committee and possibly the Solid Waste Management Planning Committee, and the Energy and Environment Committee, and the UCRRA, and also other knowledgeable community members to participate in this collaborative planning process. So I'd like to hear from others, but my, I think, sponsor, and I spoke with Legislator Bartels, and we are both of the opinion that we want to get that commitment from the agency before acting on this resolution.
Manna?
Charlie, I saw Legislator Petit's hand up.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, I agree with you. We were looking for to work collaboratively. The Zero Waste Implementation Plan is supposed to be a standalone document to work in tandem with the Local Solid Waste Management Plan. And I think I have a philosophical difference in zero waste. I don't believe that putting it into a burn plant to reduce volume is in fact zero waste. It's at the upstream generation to reduce it from there, and then whatever's left would go into a burn plant or a landfill. And I'm very concerned. So I would like a guarantee that we will get assistance in creating a document or at least an implementation plan that the Solid Waste Authority as the county vendor is able to work with. And along with that, because I am getting a lot of good comments on, you know, on the plan as it exists, to separate it out for the different branches, you know, and even UCAT, they were looking at promoting public transit and non-motorized transportation, so they should be included too. But I would really just like to see a buy-in on this. You know, taking in 152,000 tons, and, you know, after speaking with Angelina, she pointed me to the 2019 recycling and waste report. And the total volume that's been reported to her for Ulster County is over 250,000 tons. That is the representation of our waste stream, not what was in the solid waste document, which was 150.
Charlie Landy, please.
Yeah, Manor, I'm a little bit concerned about holding up Resolution 242 and not sending it to the legislature for their approval. Because on April 28th, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation approved the plan. And then on June 2nd, the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency approved the plan. And I think if there's something to be amended to the plan, that maybe it should wait for the biennial review. But I do think it should move to the legislative floor.
Charlie, I absolutely share your sense of urgency. I'm keenly aware that Seneca Meadows is likely to close within 5 years, and I want to see us to you know, be able to site a local landfill. But as others have said, we want to see that landfill be downsized because of aggressive waste diversion and also last longer. So, you know, it's great that a committee was formed, but I think we need a commitment to create a zero waste implementation plan by the end of this year. And if others feel differently, you know, they're welcome to chime in.
What would be the ramifications of delaying this to get what you're asking for, Manager?
Well, I think the agency can, let's say over the next month. And I saw your hand, Amanda, I'll be right there. Over the next month, if they're ready to, they can start to develop an RFP for some of the technologies that are listed in the plan for year one. I don't think, my sense is, there's no strong objection to the plan other than the widely shared concern that it doesn't have an implementation plan for the diversionary strategies other than considering the expansion or either retrofitting or upgrading the materials recovery facility. Amanda?
I have a question that's really more kind of procedural. I was looking through the resolution for any mention of seeker and also through the packet to see if there was any seeker documentation. And I was wondering if someone could speak to where that is.
Is Attorney Gordon on the call? It's a very good point that we missed that once before, and the executive branch was kind enough to remind us. And I said I would never miss it again, but let's check on that and see if we can get an opinion from Dave Gordon.
Okay. Amanda, could you repeat that?
I'm looking for any of this. I don't see any reference in the body of the resolution to seeker, either by the county legislature or by the UCRA board for adoption of the solid waste management plan. And I didn't see any backup documentation either in the consultant's reports or in the packet for any type of seeker done for this.
That raises the question who the adopting agency is. It's really the RRA is really the adopting agency, so the question would be primarily for them. I would also suggest that in looking at the zero waste implementation plan with the Recycling Oversight Committee over the last month or so, I came to the conclusion that there's a type 2 exemption for that type of a planning document, basically because once you would adopt it, there's got to be future actions to be taken before anything is going to impact the environment. There's going to be no trucks sent out tomorrow. There's going to be no waste diversion. And there's a specific type 2 item in the type 2 list that involves essentially planning. So I determined that the zero waste implementation plan was type 2, but I never looked at it with respect to this because it was primarily, it's primarily the RRA's document, but I would guess it would fall into the same category.
I'm not the attorney, but I tend to disagree. I see it as the first item under type 1 are comprehensive resource management plans as a type 1 action. And I believe this type of plan, I've always seen seeker documentation with in the past.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering what's going on with that.
We probably want to touch base with Ken on that. You're making a good point. If this is going to be a type 1 action, then we're going to be looking at, going to be some significant research involved in it.
Yes.
I'm not sure who's prepared to do that. Who would be staffing that. I'd want to compare notes with Ken, but you're making a good point. There is a difference between the zero waste implementation plan and the solid waste management plan in that regard.
And it's typically done by the hired consultant. I used to do that type of secret documentation. So it's typically done by the consultants who are working on the plan, but it has to be a coordinated review. I went back through the DEC letter. I didn't see any mention of DEC taking on kind of lead agency. You know, they said it had been approved under 360 and things like that, but they didn't mention anything about seeker. But I think it's I think Ken needs to look at it.
Amanda, are you familiar with any other solid waste management plans for any other county or any other waste agency getting especially a POSDEC
not a POSDEC, but they're an EAF, a long form EAF, and a coordinated review.
Tim did Ken ever broach that with you guys?
No, I'm a little bit on the outside looking in throughout the process. I wasn't brought into it all that much, but I can tell you that seeker was never mentioned. I never heard anything about it or discussed. I made a note. I can reach out tomorrow to Ken and the Cornerstone to see if they have anything to say about it.
And if we can be helpful, have them give me a call on that.
We'll do.
Happy to work with them on it. we'd have to figure out who the lead agency was. I guess it would be the RRA. So I'm happy to work with them.
Here's an example. Suffolk County publishing to the Environmental Notice Bulletin of the adoption of their updated solid waste management plan. So being published to the EMB as a type one action.
Amanda, who's the lead agency? Was it the county legislature or the county resource agency?
In this case, it was the town board was the lead agency because it's a local solid waste management plan.
They may not be established the same way our agency is.
Yeah, if it's a town, it won't be.
No. Anyway.
All right.
If you look at the 1991 Solid Waste Management Plan, the resolution does have reference to CECRA, and that it's a negative declaration. It's an unlisted action under CECRA, and it was resolved by the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency as follows. I just sent you that if you're on our email.
Amanda's suggesting it's going to be a type one action, so we have to crunch all that stuff.
How do we get a definitive answer?
Well, ultimately, assuming the RRA is the lead agency, it should be the agency's council. But they've got a problem; they've already adopted it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got that creates a problem. We were in the same situation last year, a completely different matter, and we rescinded our approval and then adopted it after a neg deck. After we did our environmental review. So the agency's got to decide what they want to do about that.
If they adopted it, can we pull the resolution up online to see if their council did put it in their resolution?
I looked.
There's one other way to look at it, which is interesting for us. They adopted it without a neg deck. Well, what was the date it was adopted?
1991.
No.
The original. This one.
The current plan.
What was it? May? April or May of this year?
April 28th, the DEC approved it, and I have the approval letter in front of me, and it says nothing about CEQA.
When did the agency adopt it?
June 2nd.
That's right, June 2nd.
It's a four-month statute of limitations that we're not there. So we got to coordinate what we want to do about that.
I think, Manna, just between us, I think holding it up is a waste of time, only in so much as you're coming upon the first two-year review. If there's something that we want to change, that would be the time to change it, because this is ready to go before the legislature. And I'm a little bit concerned about holding it up for the, and it mentions zero waste on Roman numeral four of the table of contents. It goes into length about existing solid waste management systems, and it ticks them right off just like the EPA did. And Angie Pione sent that listing down, known as the EPA Zero Waste Toolkit, and a very efficient 8 pages on what should be done to attain zero waste. And my hat is off to Angie on that. But I am adamant that I think, and I'm not even a voting member, but I did vote for it on the RRA board. And I think it should progress to the legislative floor as rapidly as possible.
Charlie, this is Dave. It can't. I mean, based on what Amanda just said, it can't.
I don't know why it can't. The DEC didn't pick up on CEQA review, and the DEC approved it. I have the letter right here. If we're going to talk about CEQA review, maybe we should go back to the DEC and do that. But it seems to me that being the state legal authority that it is, we would have picked up on CEQA review.
We'll have to figure it out.
Would any other committee members like to speak to this? Because I'd like to suggest an action and then, but Mary, did I see your hand?
Yes. I think this raises a few concerns that maybe we should, if we put it off, but make sure that we don't do it any longer than next month.
I completely agree, and I would appeal to the RRE board members and staff members that are here. Somebody needs to put their speaker on mute to consider the action that we recommended at your past board meeting. And see if the committee could agree to pass that resolution. Take the time to check with the agency attorney. And I think I would ask Attorney Gordon to check with the DEC because, you know, ultimately it seems to me that they make decisions, unless there's actually a lawsuit in Article 78 or something like that. People usually check with the DEC. And because this involves all of us, if Amanda could possibly check with the county attorney as well. And I think it would be better to be clear on the secret issue. And also that would give time to get a resolution on support.
I would just want to point out that there is a problem with potential litigation. The RRA is not 4 months past their approval. And if we did it without, if the legislature did it without.
Mary, I think you need to put your phone on mute. I think the background noise might be coming from your. See if that helps.
Okay.
Thank you.
I was just saying that there is a threat. There's a 4-month statute of limitations. I don't know if anybody would bring any claim, but the RRA is going to be vulnerable for another 2 months. And if we passed it, we'd be vulnerable for 4 months. We've got a problem. I think Amanda's pointed this out, and other folks have done it differently, and that issue's out there. We've got to deal with it. The legislature could decide not to. I mean, and just, you know, risk it if you're satisfied, but it's there.
I personally feel like that something's been exposed, so we just need to do our due diligence and find out what the issue is. And I don't feel comfortable moving forward until we explore this and get a real answer.
So I'm going to suggest that we hold this again in committee, and I agree that if we can possibly resolve these issues, I would like to move it in August. This is August in September, if at all possible. I really don't want to delay the process, but I think we have two outstanding issues that need to be resolved as best we can. So, Fawn, can I just say that, or do we need to have a motion? You're on mute.
I see Mary Wuerow has her hand up.
Oh, Mary, please.
You have to unmute.
Okay, sorry. I just think that we have to be, that maybe we should touch base in a couple weeks and make sure we're on track for being able to vote next month. Just so the time doesn't get ahead of us, and if we have any other questions, we can get them addressed before the next meeting.
Good suggestion. Thank you, Legislator Morrow. Fawn, is there anything I need to do or the committee needs to do, or can I just
The committee can take no action, or you can vote to postpone, either way.
I think given the legal situation, maybe we should vote to postpone. Do I hear a motion? I saw a hand. What was that, Legislator Petit? Whoops, you're on mute.
You unmuted me. I'll make a motion to postpone.
Okay, do I hear a second to the postponement?
I'll second that.
Legislator Criswell, all in favor, please indicate by raising your hand and saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. The motion carries.
Man, record my. I'm not a voting member of this committee, but I would be a no vote to hold it up.
Okay, that's now in the minutes.
Man, I actually have a question to council. I mean, is there any reason why the UCRA isn't still proceeding forward? I mean, there's a solid waste management plan in place. It was modified for transfer stations, but this has been approved by the DEC. Is there a reason why you don't want to move forward with it?
But I don't want to move forward with it?
But why they can't. I'm sorry, I was thinking that.
They're in a funny situation. They've approved it, but their approval may not be fully legal. They haven't done a secret review, which and the secondary problem. And by the way, this plan there's a lot more substance to it than there is to, for instance, when I was advising you on the zero waste plan. I mean, this plan we're going to be looking at, you know, a variety of different things. Although again, not specifically implementing tomorrow, but as Amanda's pointed out, there's a specific category for this sort of, you know, resource management. The other reason is that we're an involved agency, and we are legally not allowed to take an action until secret review is done. As an involved agency, we're dependent on the lead agency secret review. So if they did a neg deck, we're bound by that and it covers us. If they do an EIS, we participate in that and it covers us. But if there's no secret at all, my legal advice is we are legally without authority to move forward. If you want to do it, you can do it and risk a lawsuit and make your own judgment, but that's the way the thing boils down.
Tim DeGraff?
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to not be ignorant to all this, but I just want to pose the question. CEQA is done by the DEC, correct?
Yes.
It's not? Who does the CEQA? Who's responsible for the world?
Tim, in any action where there are a number of agencies that are literally involved and legally involved means you have an approval. Literally involved means you're just working on it. But in any action where there are a number of agencies that are legally involved, the agencies under CEQA choose one to be the lead agency. Usually that's the one who's most central to it and also has the best resources to review it. DEC typically doesn't do that. Let me give you an example. Suppose there's a 25-lot subdivision in your town and that's going to be infringing on a DEC wetland. So it needs a wetlands permit as well as subdivision approval. Almost always, in fact, literally, 99.9% of the time, the lead agency is going to be the town planning board. DEC is going to be involved because they have a wetlands permit, but the basic, the core approval there is going to be by the planning board, and so they're also going to be the secret lead agency. They will do the environmental review. They will do the neg deck. If they want, they'll do an environmental impact statement. In this case, we haven't chosen one because we never went through the process, and that process can be contentious if we decide to be or not. But in this case, the most likely lead agency would be the agency.
Okay. Thanks.
And you've already done, and we could discuss it. You could offload it onto the county if you wanted to, or the agency could do it, and whichever would hire their consultants. The problem in this case is that you've already done your approval. And so is DEC for that matter. And so we should just put our heads together and figure out what to do. I think Amanda's raised a good point. We ought to have an answer before we move forward. If the legislature felt it was an emergency, they could give it a shot, but you know, my advice would be that we're exposed on that. Let's put it that way. And so are you at this point.
10-4. Thank you.
And I just want to also add that it makes sense, I think, to all of us that that the agency would be the lead agency, but because the legislature has to vote on essentially final approval, we are an involved agency. This should be straightened out. And Legislator Waro suggested that we touch base in a couple of weeks and try to understand what we've come up with, so that we are prepared in September. If there's no other discussion, I'd like to move to the next item on the agenda.
Manna?
Yes, Charlie.
There's one paragraph in the DEC's letter of approval, and I'd like to read it for the record. Based on this review, the department has determined that the county's local solid waste management plan provides substantive consideration of the elements set forth in New York State's Environmental Conservation Law, Section 27-0107, and the State Solid Waste Management Facilities Regulations 6 NYCRR Part 366-2 and constitutes an approvable plan. I think we're forgetting that the DEC scrutinized this plan, and now we're coming up with a CEQA review question. I think there's something wrong here.
Well, we're trying to find out for sure.
I would just say that I just reread that letter, Charlie, and that's a different citation, and it really, the onus is on the agency or the county to do the review under CEQA. And I've found more examples that have of notices of solid waste management plans going through this review. It's a different part of DEC that does this, but it's a separate process than how they were reviewing it and approving it in that letter.
Manna, one final thing. This is not the first plan that the DEC has approved for the county. The first one was when the RRA was first initiated in 1986. And that plan went into action at that time and proceeded for 10 years after that until this plan was reinstated.
I think spoke to that. Catherine?
Well, Laura did mention that the 1991 plan, there was a CEQA determination. And I think we can lead the agency through it. I have enough experience with CEQA and the planning board, and we can get through it. I don't know how much experience Ken Gilligan has. So maybe if I were to need some advice from Dave Gordon, that would be helpful.
Great.
I'm happy to assist any way I can. Ken certainly has to be consulted on the need to do CEQA here. Ultimately, he's got to, Ken and your board have to make that determination whether you think it's type two or not. Amanda's, I'm going to be very interested in seeing some of the examples that she's got, but the issue's clearly before us. Ultimately, your council has to make that decision. If you need any help from me, any advice, or Ken needs any help, I'm going to be certainly happy to provide it.
Okay, good. Also, let me go back to the zero waste consideration. The board didn't pass a resolution because suddenly it was before us without any time to consider it. So it isn't that we don't want to pass such a resolution, and we will probably at the next meeting. Now we have the new committee. We didn't have this committee before. The committee hasn't met yet. It will be meeting before our next board meeting. So I would imagine that we'll actually have a resolution. And, you know, we certainly want to include zero waste more in the management plan than is in there at the moment. But the way it's set up is to edit the plan every 2 years. So probably we wouldn't be editing the plan until we get to next year. But it's not that we don't want to do zero waste.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, we invested in training and everything. I mean, it isn't as though We're not interested.
And given the urgency of the global climate crisis, you know, this is one way that we can address it. There are many other ways, but, you know, there's several layers of urgency. So I think that if the agency can take action, and I want you to be clear that that action includes thinking about a process that we get from what we have now, which we'll be discussing shortly, and a full zero waste implementation plan, there has to be an understanding of who's participating, who's setting up meetings, who's taking the lead to ensure that between now and the end of the year, we actually accomplish this goal so it can start to be implemented. It can start to be implemented next year, and then it could, we'll have another year or so experience to refine what the agency might want to do to amend it when the two-year review comes up. So I think that all fits together, and I'm sorry for a one-month delay, but I think there are two outstanding issues that could be effectively addressed, and I haven't heard other concerns from either this committee or the legislature other than the ones we've been discussing. So with that, I'd like to move on to resolution 243, which is urging New York State legislature to increase recycling and reduce municipal waste costs by expanding the New York State Returnable Container Act, otherwise known as the bottle bail. And Legislator Petit, I think you brought this forward.
Actually, I didn't. This was something that the Resource Recovery Agency had on their agenda, and Chairman Donaldson brought it forward.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I don't have it right in front of me. I just have the agenda.
And I think it's great. I would love to see a bigger, better bottle bill for everything, because I think you get a much cleaner product. That includes juice and milk and all other containers. I understand I'm on the NYSAR Solid Waste Commission for the legislative part of it. And the MRFs really would like us to stay away from plastics and other types. They're pushing the glass because they'll get a really clean product. When you bring back an item, a deposit bottle, the vendor, the merchant won't take it, you know, if it's dirty, if it's filled up with whatever. It has to be clean and dry. And, you know, that was the purpose of this this memorializing resolution. At present time, and I think that's when the question came up, I don't know if there's currently a bill, you know, in the Assembly or Senate. Perhaps somebody from the agency could talk about that. But, you know, again, in the pure thought of a good clean product, you know, and that's been the demise of our recycling system, I would like to see all bottles, but I am okay starting with glass.
Anybody know whether there are, and this came up before, and I don't know that anybody checked on it. I think we discussed this before and wondered whether there was, this relates to an actual bill or is sort of a general memorializing resolution.
Anybody?
All right. We're speaking about it. Do I hear a motion to consider this for purpose of discussion?
So moved.
And do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay. And what's the will of the committee? Do we want to take action on this?
Madam, isn't this a memorializing resolution?
Yeah.
So it has no insight. It has no impact at all. It's just a recommendation to the state legislature. Is that right?
Yes. Whatever impact memorializing resolutions can or cannot have, that, you know, that's, but it's not an actual action by the Ulster County Legislature other than an action of, you know, urging an action.
I think it's a reasonable memorializing resolution that should move forward.
Okay. Can I call the question then? Is everybody ready? Anybody have any further discussion? Okay. Call the question. All in favor of resolution number 243, urging the legislature, the new state legislature, to increase recycling and reduction and reduce municipal waste management costs by expanding the New York State Container Act. And did you have one more thing to add before? Anyone opposed? Okay. Resolution number 243 passes unanimously for those members present. And now we have resolution number 265, establishing a zero waste implementation plan for Ulster County. And Legislator Petit, would you, maybe we should get a motion and a second so we can, for purposes of discussion.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. And Legislator Criswell, second?
Yes.
Was that Wuro and Criswell?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Please speak to your resolution and we'll have some discussion.
Okay. Hopefully lots of discussion. So we do have another ROC meeting scheduled for the 10th, and we're going to focus on this. We also have someone, Josephine, who is willing to help us pull out the action steps so we can create an actual implementation schedule. I think with a lot of the feedback that we're getting, the action plan, which are the steps under each item or reference to, you know, MSW, a MRF, whatever, is that, you know, and from our Solid Waste Authority, if we were them to do all of the encouraging and looking when, you know, whatever, that is beyond scope. So we will need input from the Department of the Environment, and, you know, especially since there's a section in there on green businesses, there's a reference to the Green Academy. It would be nice to get an implementation schedule or some comment back from our local schools, BOCES and the SUNY campuses. There's also, let's see, Department of the Environment, UCAT. You know, I had actually pointed that out under tires, because it said encourage use of non-motorized transportation, and public transit. So there is more that needs to be done on this. And, you know, I don't think that we would have gotten to where we were if we hadn't thrown it out there so we could get the input. And I'd also like to put it out there after tonight's conversation that perhaps we could get an implementation schedule with some bullet points out of this document if the RRA would be willing to, you know, agree or approve those steps. I think I'd be a lot more comfortable putting the draft solid waste management plan.
Anybody else? Legislator
Crispa. Yeah, I'm really in agreement with Legislator Petit on referring to the conversation tonight. I think that these two plans need to dovetail into each other. There needs to be conversation between these two plans so that they can both move forward in sync and with content and with timing. So.
I agree with that manner, if I may.
Yes.
In the index of the plan, there's 14 pages devoted to exactly what we're voting on here, existing solid waste management systems, and it ticks them off in all 14 pages to waste reduction programs, organics, education and outreach, online resources, electronics, other waste, zero waste. Everything that we're going to vote on here, we just didn't approve in the master plan. There's something going on here. Excuse me.
I see it as an opportunity. You now have 14 pages of a plan already made to start on.
Yeah, but we didn't approve it.
I agree with Legislator Quisrell. I mean, the plan referenced zero waste and waste reduction, but in the back under their schedule, that schedule, there's nothing. There's no outline. There's no outline for future programs such as, you know, purchasing an Andela glass crusher so you can crush the 1,000 tons of glass that you're getting. There's nothing in there about, you know, taking a look at the MRF. It was built in 2002. It's 18 years old. And I think in one of, on your front page, actually, where it has questions, you know, why don't we take all kinds of plastic? And it says in there, because there's no optical sorter. So I think we need to, you know, for me to be comfortable, at least, I won't speak for everyone else, have other implementations or implementable actions as part of the agreement with the solid waste management plan. As I read it right now, it only has four different technologies. One is rail, so sending it, you know, 2,000 miles away by rail. One of it is incineration, and another is landfilling.
I would like to add my comments and say that as much work as went into what was called the Zero Waste Action Plan, and I'm hoping we'll modify it to a Zero Waste Implementation Plan, it doesn't specify for the actions by whom. In other words, is a department responsible? Overall, the agency is responsible for managing solid waste in Ulster County. But there may be aspects in a waste diversion plan that are best done by a department or some other entity. So I think by whom has to be spelled out for each of the actions, how it will happen, and when it will happen. And there was a process that we started to do a zero waste plan. The Recycling Oversight Committee has done a lot of work to develop a foundation. I strongly feel that you know, it's going to take a little time, and that's why I've been asking, and the Solid Waste Management Commission, Solid Waste Planning Commission, I think there was consensus there that this should be completed by the end of the year. And I don't think anybody has any objection once there's a commitment to working on it, to go ahead and once the secret issue is resolved, to go ahead and pass the solid waste plan. But I do want that commitment to include how we're going to get the plan done. Are we going to start with what the Recycling Oversight Committee has developed as a foundation and try to fill in the missing pieces? And also see if there really is consensus on each of the recommendations. You know, I think they're all valid, but I think it takes a group process. And if we get through that group process, I think we're going to be in very good shape for implementing it and really can bring all the benefits of a strong waste diversion plan and, you know, one that's collaboratively developed so that the various agencies and departments and everybody is working together. And we've heard, you know, from the legislature, and we've heard from some of the agency board members and staff. Amanda, you're one of the departments, and since you kindly stayed on the call, I'd like to just get your take on this, because you're probably the department that, you know, ultimately might be most involved, other than also economic development, because some of the recommendations in the plan that we're speaking about, establishing a zero waste implementation plan for Ulster County, some of those include very specific plans that are directed at economic development. So I just wonder if you have any input either on the content or the process or the value.
A couple of different questions. One is actually for Dave Gordon. I'm just wondering if the fact that the seeker review issue needs to be revisited with the LWSMP, does that change at all in how you're kind of, I know you had thought of this plan as kind of a standalone type two plan, you know, planning without implementation document, but does that kind of change where you're thinking this should happen in kind of in sequence?
I'm not quite understanding your question. Are you asking whether it changes the secret classification, it changes my thinking on the secret classification of the zero waste plan,
or the sequence in which you would want to see that happen? Like, would you, you know, to pass resolution around a zero waste plan before the bigger kind of issue, which is the solid waste management plan, has kind of been vetted through seeker and been kind of
No, I don't think so. The seeker issue on the solid waste management plan is separate. The two planning processes go in slightly different directions. I mean, just to be blunt, the solid waste management plan is going to be looking ultimately at questions of, you know, are we going to have a landfill, for example, or are we going to have an incinerator or something like that? Whereas the zero waste implementation plan is looking at questions like, you know, how do we have more repair cafes, and how do we get more people into to make less tires? It's a completely different scale. Now, there has been desire on the part of some legislators to essentially acknowledge the zero waste plan in the solid waste management plan. And so that's the question that comes to mind in terms of how do we load one into the other. But I'm not that concerned about the.
Okay.
But I will tell you that since you're now looking at, I was looking at the type two classification, which says basically a planning process where you're not going to be, you know, ordering the trucks or the concrete tomorrow. You're pointing out that there's a type one classification for solid waste management plans, which is resource management plan. And so I want to take a second look at whether the zero waste plan would fall into that. I don't think it does still, but given the fact that a lot of other people in the state seem to be naturally falling into that for solid waste management plans, I want to be certain on that before I advise the legislature finally. But I think we can move forward with both of them, other than depending on how the legislature wants to handle the issue of this acknowledgement of the zero waste plan.
Okay.
Fawn, yes, go ahead, but let's come back to Amanda.
Oh, you're finished with Amanda. It's a separate topic, but on okay. The resolution.
Okay. And then I had a second point, and I did actually forget it. So,
well,
move on.
I'll jump in for one second then. just to clarify, the name of this plan right now is the Zero Waste Implementation Plan. That is the name of it officially as it came out. There is one typo in the last whereas where we still refer to it as an action plan. So we would like to change that one word to implementation. So there is an amendment that this can use at some point to change that one word so that it's uniformly the same. But it is right now officially called the Zero Waste Implementation Plan, commonly known as the ZWIP plan.
It's a ZWIP, not a WAP.
Okay.
And I remember now. the other thing that I was thinking of was a group of you went to go and see the film plastic recycling facility down in New Jersey, and you came back with just great stories about this. But the thing that stuck in my mind the most about the report out on that trip was the reason why those plants, or a big driver why those plants were viable now, film plastic recycling, was that California has passed a law that requires like 20% recycled plastic content in garbage bags and in other film plastic bags. And that single thing, you know, you can try to, you know, change, you know, tax infrastructure in New York State, or, you know, have the EDA try to get industry to Ulster County for recycling. But it was that one policy decision that drove the market, right? And that's a huge piece of this. And that's where I feel like you have to have a hit list for what's going to be the driver at the state level that can shift these industries and shift the markets. The garbage bags to have recycled plastic in them has created a domestic plastic recycling industry in California that even reaches to this place in Jersey. So I think those steps are as important as kind of, oh, our economic development department should be looking at this. But really there's a sweeter spot as far as scale and instrument that needs to be tended to. So that's what I offer.
Absolutely. And I just want to be sure everyone knows that Senator Metzger was contacted and had developed a bill. And I don't remember what the percentage was, but to require plastic garbage bags in New York to have recycled content. And I think it was 20% also. I think it was modeled after the California bill. And then COVID happened and, you know, threw everything into a turmoil. But I think I had mentioned that the planning process needs to include by whom, how, and by when. But I also think we need to, for each of those actions, identify, is a policy change needed? Because then it would be either taking action in the county, if that makes sense, or doing a memorializing resolution to the state, for example, in support of a bill that has recycled content. But you're spot on about, you know, what we learned, and quite a few of us took that trip.
I want to acknowledge that Legislator Bruno has joined us. And I'll just throw out a comment. The same thing holds true for asphalt. In a lot of states, they put recycled materials, glass and plastic in asphalt. And that's against the regulations in New York. So that's another law that could be changed and create a demand for recycled materials.
Go ahead, please.
And another big point that we've been discussing here, and actually have some points on this. If this were to, you know, to be passed, this is again a really good chance to take advantage and kind of merge objectives with the Climate Smart Communities Program. Again, the county's looking at recertification, April of around April of 2021, there are a lot of actions in the Climate Smart Communities program that, you know, this should be tied right into it, and also EPA waste-wise. There are things here where you should be kind of leveling it up to the state programs, to the federal programs. That helps you get funding, that helps you get grants. It helps the county with our recertification. It provides some kind of, you know, rationale beyond just this plan for why we would be paying attention to certain items. It could really be bolstered by a lot of looking at the Climate Smart Communities program.
I think we should deal with it.
If I may, I hate to make more work for anybody right now because I know how thin we're all stretched, but could you just write those few comments up? I think that'd be extremely helpful because somehow we have to coordinate all of this. We haven't quite defined that, but I sense a real strong willingness to cooperate and share information, and that's what's going to get us to the best results. And it is getting late. So given some of the questions that have been answered and my sense that resolution 265 refers to a plan that needs more work, I want to ask if the sponsor would consider either having the committee hold it or, as we did, postpone it, as we did with the local solid waste plan.
Yeah, a question on the process. Can we make change? Can we postpone it and make changes? And then that we can do that. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm okay with postponing. I do recognize it needs work. I'm just looking for feedback, such as, you know, the feedback that Amanda LaValle just gave us. And there's components of it in there. It's just not highlighted. And honestly, I think as we develop, again, the implementation schedules, there should be one for each part of the process, even the legislative process. You know, I just forwarded that California plastic law, which is supposedly the toughest in the world. Maybe Ulster County can do the second toughest in the world. I don't know. But thank you. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Anna.
And I also want to thank Josephine. I know how helpful she was in just hearing and recording what everyone said and weaving it together. So I think she'll be a real asset to the process. You had mentioned she had volunteered, and we don't have funds to pay someone to coordinate this, but as much leadership as the agency wants to take, we would be welcome, but we'll figure out a process and move forward. And so are we postponing or holding?
Postponing. Does it matter? Yeah, postpone.
Do I have a motion to postpone? Someone making that motion?
I'll make a motion that we postpone this for 1 month. Is that what we're doing? Do we put a time
on that? It always has to be 1 month, at the next meeting.
There we go.
Consider at that point. Let's do it tomorrow.
So we're postponing.
Okay. All right. So
postponing with the sponsors. Permission.
Approval. With the sponsor's permission, yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? We have unanimous support to postpone and to move forward with a planning, with a process to understand how we're going to refine this. And we're now up to new business. Any new business anyone would like to bring up? Old business is the New York Green Amendment. And we had both a letter and also a possible memorializing resolution.
Right. Both of them are on the OneDrive for you to look at, samples.
And I think at this point, we don't have a resolution, but the question is, does the committee want to move forward? And this is a resolution to actually encourage a modification of the state. We had a presentation on this last month of the New York State Constitution, an amendment to the Constitution that that gives you know, more rights to protect the environment. And I'm not articulating that very well, but my question is, do we want to proceed with a possible letter, or if folks have had a chance to look at this, with a memorializing resolution, and we can work on that, take an act, possible action on that next month?
So I think there's two things. One is a very practical urgency to get people to sign this. So I'm not sure what a memorializing resolution would do to get that action happening. So I'm a little concerned that we could go through the process of a memorializing resolution, and what we really need is signatures to move it forward. But I do agree that if this is going to move forward, we should be standing on the right side of this, which I think is, it's a positive idea. So there's two things going on there, you know, like, how do we get the action out there right now, which is needed to get the signatures, and then how do we put this in front of people who are going to see that we are behind this idea?
Okay, anybody else on this question? And just, there was a little feedback when you were speaking. Were you favoring a resolution or a letter?
Sorry, I have a train going by right now.
I can hear it.
My train. So, I think, I don't know actually which would be more efficient. I guess that's what I was asking. What's going to be the tool that we can use to get people to sign onto this petition?
I think the people that presented last month would really appreciate a resolution, but they're absolutely fine with a letter. They need to begin to show support, to build support for a New York Green Amendment. And I apologize that I am not, I've had a lot on my mind, but I know, go ahead. Legislator Bruno, please.
So it's essentially a letter we can do easily. If we're all on the same page and we can do a letter quickly and easily, then I think at that point it makes it simple. Let's just do that. That's just my opinion. If you need something in a hurry, I'm not sure what the time frame is if we're pressed, based on what Peter was saying.
Legislator Warren.
I agree, because if we do a letter, we know something's we're actually taking an action. If we go through a resolution and we don't get enough support, then we kind of are out of luck and wasted a lot of time.
Okay. So we have a sample letter. I would like everybody to read it over carefully, and let's put that as an agenda item, not new business, but as an actual agenda item. For September meeting. Yes.
If we do a letter, can we then follow it up with a resolution?
Absolutely.
Great.
At least we can get the letter out there so they know the direction we're heading, and then at least they have the support of the committee at this point. And then if we can get a resolution with the support of the entire legislature, that's that much better. But I think we need to make a statement initially, legislative, so they know where we're going.
Sorry.
I just, do we need to put a letter on the agenda? Can we, we can't just write a letter and sign on to it?
We do have a letter. I don't have it immediately in front of us. We have a sample letter that they provided. That's the only reason I'm saying to wait so that we're all really clear for next month. Unless everybody else is clear, I'm in favor. I just feel a little bit, you know, that I can't articulate it, and I feel badly about that. Legislative Warren. Yes, please.
Another point about the letter, it would give us a good feel on who's willing to sign up for it as to whether a resolution would pass.
Perfect.
Right. Exactly. So whoever wants to sign on to that letter, absolutely.
So, Mana Jo, you can look the sample letter over, and then we can just send it to all legislators and see who wants to sign it on. That's normally how we do a memorializing letter. So. Perfect. You can just look it over.
You don't even have to wait till next month.
Right. I'll send you the sample again, and you take a look at it, and you can just then send it out to anybody you want to look at it to review it if you'd like. And once we send it, then we can send it to the full legislature, and we can put your signatures on it electronically like we usually do.
Yes.
Can we also send the link for the petition itself? Because that's going to be most effective is if we send out to our constituents this petition signature link.
I don't know about the petition. This is just a memorializing letter that I have. But we can see if they have a petition. We can put it in the letter if they have a link.
Fawn, do you have the contact information from the presenters from last month?
I do.
So can you check on a petition? The only two things I've read over were the petition, or rather the resolution and the draft letter.
That's all I've received, but I can contact them and ask what else they have.
But there may be a petition that that our constituents would want to support. So we'll get back to you with all three. And then Climate Smart. I just want to let folks know that part of the reason I'm a little not on top of my game is that I just came through a 10 day, but felt like weeks. Opportunity to mentor 20 people for the Climate Reality Project, Al Gore's Climate Reality Project. At the same time, there were 10,000 people around the world participating, and 500 mentors. And then in this area, we had a group of 25 mentors who were all mentoring 20 people over the course of 10 days who took the full climate reality training. And it really felt like a tipping point to think that 10,000 people around the world were learning about, you know, the details of the climate reality and the climate solutions. So, you know, and they were challenged to understand their own climate story, their relationship to the climate crisis, to look at impacts, particularly local impacts. We tend to look at fires in California and, you know, severe storms in other places. Not that we've not experienced severe storms. We tend to think about the climate crisis and in the Arctic and Antarctic and Greenland and so forth. But people were encouraged to look at their own community and their own direct experience, both from perspective impacts and effective climate solutions. And we now have a cadre of trained people, the local chapter of Climate Reality, has just more than doubled in size. And I would like to recommend for the Climate Smart Committee that we actually get a representative from the Climate Reality Program. We're down one person, so I'm going to see if we can find somebody, because then those two very parallel initiatives would be, you know, represented. And I sort of serve as a liaison, but I also chair the committee. I'd rather have a committee member. So I'm going to see if we can fill that vacancy.
I got a message that Dave Halloran wanted to speak.
Please, Dave, I'm sorry. I please add to the conversation before we adjourn.
I don't know that I really decided I needed to speak. There's been some discussion in our last couple of meetings about protecting rivers and streams in Ulster County, with numerous towns having difficulty understanding what the protection along the riversides, particularly the not the streams themselves, but on the buffer zones along the rivers and streams. There's also been some discussion about multiple towns facing dumping of construction debris. And so these are things we're just discussing right now. It may be something that we want to bring to the committee for its attention at some time in the future.
That's illegal in Ulster County now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But figuring out how to deal with it is a real problem. And
I do want to say that there is a coalition that we're strongly supporting a resolution to protect intermittent streams and such. Riverkeeper was very active in that, and many of the other water organizations. And I believe that passed in New York and is a counterbalance to the undoing of some environmental protections that are happening in Washington. Anything else? Thank you. And we appreciate that update. Anything else on the agenda? And I want to specifically thank Kathy for that presentation, which really puts us all on the same page, and all the work that the Recycling Oversight Committee has done. I'm very encouraged that we're going to move forward in a way that is going to put Ulster County on the map in terms of sound solid waste planning. And
in a good way.
Yeah.
And Amanda, help us keep track of the various climate smart actions we are taking and don't necessarily remember are a high impact action. Thank you. All right. Thank you, everyone. We didn't do too badly. And have a good night. Any final business before I call for a motion to adjourn?
Sorry I'm late, everybody. I couldn't help it. I had to take care of business today.
We'll catch you up. Very cooperative, and I really appreciate it. And thanks to Fawn for keeping us on track. And we'll get some answers, and we'll call for a motion to adjourn.
Call. Adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Legislator Criswell and seconded by Legislator Bruno. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.
No.
Thank you.